How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hello, my buds, my pals, my friends, new friends, old friends, my favorite barista at the Brockton Haunt. You are the best and you make very good cappuccinos and I love them. And if you're ever in Toronto, it is at College and Sheridan. It is a wonderful little spot. Try to go there often. They have delicious s'mores cookies. I haven't had one in a while. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is yet another week. Here we are. We just came out of the August long weekend. Did people go to their cottages? Did you rent a cottage? Did everyone swim? Although this past week it has been nothing but rain, which is unfortunate. But I do love the August long weekend. It is one of my favorites. Second to the May long weekend, May 2-4, because when I was younger, that was the first time I ever had a sip of alcohol was on May 2-4 weekend. So I always think about it as a great little holiday. But I love August long because August long weekend means that it's almost my birthday. Yes, my birthday is August 7th. That's this Friday. Ooh, I am turning the big 3-4. Yes, I just had my 33rd year on this earth and on this planet. Pretty cool to think about. 30s have been the best years of my life, and 33 was equally incredible. You know, I got my incredible dream job at Second City, which I'm very lucky to do. I've been doing more film and TV, which is awesome. I found the love of my life, Jill. Hello, Jill. I love you. You know, it's been a pretty bang up year. And speaking of bang up, I also this week fell very hard. like bad. It was wet out because like I said, it's been raining all weekend. And I was walking the dog and I was wearing my new little sandals. They're like a little beach sandal. They're so comfortable. I love them. But not thinking that they would not have a good grip. So I was walking Maggie, my dog, and I fell. I slid, to be honest, and fell hard on my left knee on a subway grate. It was not pretty. Had to go to the hospital, got a few stitches. The knee is up, which, you know, honestly, I take it as the universe saying, hey, you got to slow down, pal. That's how the universe talks to me. I really do. I think it was like, you need some time to just chill and rest. Cause I've been working a lot, like working on my own things a lot, which has been, I don't want to say own, on my own thing. I'm working on a lot on stuff for me, which has been wonderful. And I have been like really loving it and finding some motivation recently. And so then the universe was like, hey, bud, take a break. So that's what I have been doing the last few days. I've just honestly been full on vegging out. I've been watching. I found out that the X-Files. Yes, do you remember the X-Files? I don't even know if that's the right thing. To me, that sounds right. but I've been watching the X-Files. And I forgot what a great show the X-Files is. The pilot is so good. It sets up all the characters like incredibly well. And just it's such a fun monster of the week with that overarching theme of will Mulder find his sister who was abducted. It is. I suggest everyone give it a bit of a rewatch. It's pretty fun and it's like good for a rainy day. And you can just pop it on and take a watch. And, you know, that's what I want for my birthday. Everyone rewatch the X-Files. No. What I would love, you know, since my birthday is coming up, if people are feeling giving, you know, maybe support a charity or two, your favorite one, donate. And if you do, you know, tag me in an Instagram post of you donating. You can hashtag it's Trisha Black or tag me at @its_TrishaBlack on Instagram or Twitter. And I'll give you a huge shout out because I would really appreciate that. You know, it's good to help. It's good to help the world and help people who need our help. And welcome back again to another week of One More Round with me, Trisha Black. And this week we have a delightful, wonderful, just sweet, charming guest, Mr. Chef Paul Lilikus. Oh my goodness. What a delightful conversation we had. He's just a joy to chat with. His food looks amazing. And someday when we can actually be in person together, I can't wait to taste it. We talk all about what it's like to be a chef, what it's like being in the media as a chef, what it's like being a personal chef to a surprise celebrity guest, and how he got that job, which is a really cool, fun story, you know, and talking about what it's like right now for restaurants and businesses during this hectic time that we are in this global pandemic. So, you know, if we can learn anything this week, it's that we should cook more and cook things you like and do the things you love, but don't walk in the rain in sandals because you will slip and you will get injured. Don't get injured. But I will say the one thing that is such a bonus to being injured is that I realize I have these incredible, amazing, wonderful, empathetic, kind, generous people in my life. I am very, very lucky and very blessed. And if you'll allow me the time to just talk about how wonderful these people are, and I'm going to brag about them. You know, I slipped, I fell, and my lovely girlfriend Jill was in Calgary, and she's been there, which is sad. I miss her so much. I really do. It's, you know, being in a global pandemic and then the one person you've been bubbling with for the last 4 or 5 months is gone for a while. It feels a little lonely. Just a little bit lonely, and with the rain and everything, it's, you know, it's hard. But I called her, and obviously she was getting ready for the wedding. She was texting me being like, you're okay, you gotta go to the hospital. And so then my next thing was, I gotta call Paloma. No, I called my roommate, Emily, who's not even in town. She's in Stirling, Ontario. And I was like, you're in Stirling, you can't help. And then I called Paloma, and Paloma immediately, Paloma Nunez, who you remember her from episode 2, we talked a lot about sports, rushed to my house, rushed me to the hospital. I went in to St. Joseph's Hospital here in Rauncey. I believe it's St. Joseph's Hospital. And I had to go in alone because they wouldn't let, they don't let visitors in right now, obviously, because of the pandemic. So that was a little hard because I already have a bit of hospital anxiety. So I went in, and Paloma, and then when I was done, Paloma came and picked me up and took me home and helped me take my dog out for a little bit. And then like an hour later, I got a call or a text from Anne Hornell, who's a lovely, delightful, wonderful, kind human being, saying she had a care package for me and was going to bring me McDonald's, which was so kind. And the care package had so many of my favorite treats: ketchup chips, regular chips, all of the chocolate, decadent chocolate cookies, the President's Choice kind, fuzzy peaches, polysporin, Advil, Tylenol, all of the treats. And that was so kind. And, you know, all of my She the People cast were like, we're reaching out, and all of my current main stage cast and my good friend Tom is checking in on me, and my friend Chelsea who's taking Maggie for walks the next few days while I can't do that, and you know, everyone else who reached out to make sure I was okay, giving me advice on when to ice and when to heat. And honestly, I feel very loved this week, and that is a birthday gift unto itself. So I guess this is just a big thank you from me to all of the wonderful people that I am very lucky to know and have in my life. So you kind of got to take the positive when a negative happens and just say, Trish, you're a klutz, and you are going to fall down multiple times in your life. And I do. I am the biggest klutz. I honestly fall down all of the time. When I used to work in kitchens as a chef, which is also really interesting. We have Paul on today talking about that, bringing up lots of memories for me. But I used to cut my fingers all the time, all of the time. Like, I have good knife skills. I have better now because I learned my lesson from cutting my hands all up. But being a chef is a dangerous profession. You don't realize how dangerous it is. You're working with sharp knives, hot pans and ovens, and you get burned so many times. I used to work in the window of this Italian restaurant. I literally worked every job at that restaurant in the back kitchen. But when I was working the window, I used to burn my arms all the time trying to take pizza out. I still love cooking. It is honestly just a joy to do. And that's why I'm so excited to have Chef Paul Lilikas with us today. So let's go to that interview now. He has traversed the food industry for 15 years in an eclectic variety of venues, from restaurants to catering, as a private chef and in the media. In 2014, he was the winner of Chopped Canada and went on to become the personal chef to six-time Grammy-nominated Canadian music producer deadmau5. Whoa. He was formerly the owner of Food Styles, a food editor at Canadian Living magazine, and more recently, you can find him sharing his twisted recipes on a variety of television programs, including Cityline and CTV's Your Morning, as a contributing food expert. His guilty pleasure is curling up with his husband Alex and polishing off an entire bag of ketchup chips, my favorite, while watching old episodes of The Simpsons, also my favorite. I'm very excited. Please welcome to the virtual stage and audio stage, Chef Paul Lilikas.
Yay! Hi, Trisha.
Hi, Paul. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. I'm so excited you're here.
Me too. I'm so excited to be here. Man, this all came together so quickly.
I know, right? It was wild because you had added me to Instagram and I was like, oh, who's this? And I turned to my girlfriend, Jill, and I was like, oh my gosh, a cool Cityline chef added me to Instagram. And I was like, oh, wow. And so I followed you back because I love food and cooking, which I'm sure we're going to get into. And then you messaged me telling me that you'd seen me in She the People. And then from there, I was like, I'm just going to be bold and ask if he wants to do the podcast.
Oh, I was so excited. I was so excited. First of all, I mean, it's always good to give a little bit of props to people who are doing stuff you love. And I know that we have at least one mutual friend, probably more.
Yes, at least.
And I just thought, well, I'm a huge fan and I'll just send a little props and, oh, she's got a podcast. You know, maybe I can like charm her into having me on one day. And then it all happened in like 15 seconds. I was like, wow.
Yeah, immediately. You did. I know, because you wrote and it was such a sweet message. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so nice. And then you'd said we had Ashley Como, who was in She the People with me as a mutual friend of ours. And I was like, I'm just going to ask you, because I for this podcast, the idea is like, you know, it's like a kitchen party feel. And I really want to get to know, interview people that I don't know too. And like, we had never met. And I found you just so interesting watching your videos. And cooking is such a pastime of mine that I love so much. So I was like, let's get Paul on this pod.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Me too. It was really like, I feel like it's fate that we are doing this right now.
Yeah, I love that.
Me too. So how have you been? You've been good? Is your quarantine going well?
Oh,
as well as it can?
Actually, you know what? It's been pretty good to me, which is a weird thing to say. But it's been, I've gotten a lot done, which is the opposite of what a lot of people have said. I mean, people have been doing DIYs and home renos and stuff like that. But career-wise, I've gotten a lot done. Like, I wasn't really doing many videos for social media until sort of this just hit. and I had such like a fuck this. Sorry, I shouldn't swear.
Don't please. It's okay. You can swear on this podcast. Who cares? I'm from the East Coast.
Perfect. I had this sort of like, oh, fuck this moment when I just turned on my camera and I started cooking. And I just thought, like, I've done cooking videos in the past where it's all so scripted and you have your shot list and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they always never became what I wanted them to be. And this time I was like, I'm just going to put my camera on and cook and see what happens. And then I'll edit it together. And so many little fun moments came out of it because it was candid and I wasn't worrying about the shot. And I was doing it all myself. So people weren't buzzing around with cameras
Which is nice.
Well, let's do that. It was completely undirected, unscripted. And then within 2 months, I had done like 54 recipe videos for Instagram.
That's
incredible. Yeah.
I've watched them and they're very fun. I've watched over the last, like, I don't know when we became Instagram friends, but I think I've watched almost all of them now.
Oh, thank you.
Of course.
Yeah, and I try to, and the thing that I always wanted to do, because as you know, I think I told you, I went to comedy school with Ashley Comeau, right?
Yes.
And so I'm no stranger to the comedy world. And then I sort of, my path took me in a different direction into the food world, but I always wanted to sort of come back to the media. And I always wanted to incorporate some comedy, but I never really knew how. Like, I didn't know how to do it without it being... Like, I tried doing, like, a sketch show, cooking show that kind of just, like, didn't feel right. It didn't work. And by doing this, I was able to sort of capture little moments of comedy that come from cooking. Because you make mistakes and things spill. And I have these, like, banana hands. And so I'm always, like, dropping stuff. Though I'm very good with a knife.
Yeah, well, good. Like, thank God.
Yeah. I'm always, like... You know, I'll be the one at a dinner, like, talking with my hands, and then, like, a wine glass will just go down like that. So, like, stuff like that always happens, and I just found those moments were coming out in the videos, and it's been really cool. It's been a really cool experience.
Yeah, they're so lovely, and they're so wonderfully put together because you are so charming, and what I love about them is that you can tell they're not scripted. Like, it's just you in the kitchen being you. And like I said, you're so charming and it's so delightful to watch because it does feel like you're just in the kitchen with you. And I think that's such an important thing when people, for me anyway, when I'm watching people's like videos or anything that are those kind of like vloggy, you know, like real life unscripted, you need those moments of like when you like leave the cupboard door open or something and then you edit and you're like, I just leave the cupboard door open all of the time. But it is something you do in the kitchen. You're just playing and you're like, you know where everything is and you're grabbing it and then you're putting it out, but you leave it open. And then your editing is so fun. And yeah, I really, really enjoy them. It's so, they're such a delight. Yeah. And I, go ahead. No, you go ahead. You go ahead, Paul.
Okay. I've become really good at thumb editing, I call it. Like,
okay.
Honestly, we're all going to have arthritis for sure.
Oh, big time.
Because I don't edit them on a computer, which is another thing. I edit them on my phone. So I take the video on my phone and I don't even use a mic for them. So it's just like it goes straight from the raw footage to the editing app. I use an app called InShot. It's awesome. And I just I just like thumb edit it.
Wow.
And I usually would film it, edit it, post it same day.
Wow, that's incredible. That's so impressive. And I also love that you did study at Humber, like, so you have a comedy background, which is awesome. And I think also, and I'm sure we're going to get really deep into like how you became into the cooking world and all of that, but I find cooking, at least for me as like an improviser comedian, it's such a wonderful art form, like cooking, because you can have, and let me tell you, I'm not a good baker because baking is very scientific and mathematic and I don't like it. But with cooking, you can improvise, right? And you can like add kind of your little flair to it as well, which like I watched your carbonara video too, and I didn't even know you could cut green onion like that and then put them in cold water and they curl. So I was like, oh, what an interesting, like, cool garnish. And now I'm going to use that. Like, that's a tip I'm going to use.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about cooking too, because I'm a recipe writer, right? But I love nothing more than cooking off recipe. When I'm not writing recipes or maybe for baking, for sure, you want to stick to a recipe, but I it's mostly improv in the kitchen, which is what I love about it, because you can sort of like just go in the direction that feels right and play. And that's what it is to me. It really feels like playing when I'm in the kitchen.
I know, for me too, because in my career, like my career, when I wasn't acting in that, my first real like Joe job was working in a kitchen. I worked in a small Italian restaurant in Sackville, New Brunswick through my university years and then a couple years after. And I was working, I started as a line cook. I was a pasta assistant and like I made all the salads and then all of a sudden I got put on pizzas and then I got put in the window and then I became like I was working all of the morning shifts, so I was doing all lunches by myself, and so then I started doing pasta chef. So it really was a job where I was like, oh, I feel like I'm still being creative and making money when I can't make money doing this.
Right. Making a fortune.
Yeah, making a killing because chefs make a lot of money. Chefs should make way more money than they do. That is something that has always shocked me, because you're going out to eat this beautiful dinner that is being prepared by somebody that, you know, some restaurants charge a fortune for, and you have somebody in the back being creative, and especially at like, you know, a higher end restaurant or something, it is always so shocking to me that chefs don't make more money, because it's a difficult job.
People don't know, they don't realize the overhead, they don't realize the work involved, just the manpower to keep a business like that running. People, you know, for the last 20 years, people have been saying to me, you're going to own a restaurant someday. And after coming through the restaurant, and I didn't actually even spend that much time working in restaurants. Mm-hmm. I was in there just long enough to know this is not what I want.
What you want.
And I mean, could you imagine at a time like this?
Oh gosh, no, I feel so horrible for people who own restaurants right now. Yeah. It's awful.
It's not a good time. But I knew during the best of times for restaurants that it wasn't for me, which is why I've had this sort of weird windy road to get here. And even catering and private chefing and all that. Right. Like I definitely dipped my toes in and the water was cold.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is such a hard, it's so interesting with the food and beverage industry, thinking that there are so many different like varieties of restaurants, and you would assume that they would be doing well because there is such a high demand for people eating out. Like people love to eat out, people love takeout, but at the same time, there are so many overheads and there's so many costs to own it. Because I wanted to own a restaurant for a long time too. I was like, I'm going to have an East Coast restaurant and it's going to have a dinner theater in the back and all of this great stuff. And then as I got older, learning what you had to do, I was like, oh, I don't think that's for me. I don't think I have the power to do it. There's my cat in the back.
Oh, hi. Yeah, it's the business of it is it is a logistical nightmare. And even the people who are really good at it and have it down pat, they're not making a ton of money. You know, that's why so many of the big name chefs also do media work.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can make more in media work than you can in owning a restaurant with way more control over the situation. And that's the thing. The cooking aside, which is already difficult enough to control, all of the different moving parts is it could be very overwhelming. And people just don't see that, you know. There's a lot of people out there that just love to go to restaurants, but they don't have never worked in a restaurant. They've never poked their head back behind the door. They don't see all the stuff that goes on.
Yeah, and especially behind the scenes, right? Like, yeah, that's the thing, is you don't see the labor that goes into creating a menu, even being a chef, either a kitchen manager or an executive chef, and trying to put together a menu can be so difficult too. Because I don't know, I watch a lot of Gordon Ramsay, and especially his like kitchen nightmares and things. And one thing I love about what he says is, you know, making your menu small, because the more stuff you have on your menu, the less it's probably going to be crafted,
wasted,
I guess. And it's going to be wasted. Yeah. You're going to have to order all of these crazy,
ingredients.
Yeah. Like, well, what's the point?
Yep.
It's
most
crazy.
People just don't know.
That's the thing, is most people don't know. And I mean, we should let people know.
Indeed.
Tip your servers, because it also goes back to the kitchen usually. So.
Oh my God. I was just reminded of a story. I was with I have a dear, my best friend and her fiance. We've been dear friends for a long, long time. And we were out at dinner, and he wanted to pay the bill. His name's Scott. Awesome guy. he picks up the bill and he's looking at it, and there was an added gratuity, speaking of tips, and right. he's like, what's this? I didn't order any gratatouille.
Like you think it's like Ratatouille, the movie?
Yeah.
That's so cute. Oh, no. What is this? I didn't order this. It's like, no, you did, though, by having a large bill.
Yes. Pay for the gratatouille, Scott.
Play for the gratatouille, Scott. Come on. Well, Paul, as you know, this show is a show where I like to sit down and have a drink with somebody. Are you drinking anything today on this wonderful
afternoon? I sure am.
Ooh, what is that?
This is I call it a winter Negroni. Okay. It is a bourbon Negroni, you know, because it's Monday at 1 p.m.
It's Monday at 1 p.m. Hey, it's okay. It's almost your birthday, right? Your birthday is tonight at midnight?
Tonight at midnight.
Yes. Happy early birthday. And I'm
Thank
glad
you.
You're celebrating early with me. I'm having a Jelly King, Bellwoods Brewery. It's a sour. Nice. But it's like a special one. It's a dry hop sour, which I love because they're not too sweet. They're a little like tangy. But it's pineapple, tangerine, and grapefruit. So
nice.
This is delicious.
A fruity one.
So cheers and cheers. Happy early birthday. And thank you for being Clink. Here. Clink.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's delightful. So, Paul, for you, what led you to the world of food? I think I also read somewhere, are you self-taught?
Sort of. I hate the word self-taught. The term self-taught, because no one's self-taught. Even if you are taught by YouTube videos how to do something, you're taught by people who are teaching you. So, I've always been a little bit cautious of using that term, but I have done a lot of, let's call it, independent learning. I didn't go to culinary arts because, well, I guess if we take it back to the early days out of high school. So Ashley and I, our mutual friend, we went to the same high school. It was an art school in Caledon called Mayfield. And I was there for the theater program. We were both there for the regional arts program. So the way it worked was like you did 4 years and every semester you had whatever your discipline was. So there were the dance kids, there were the art kids, the visual arts kids, the theater kids. And I seemed to excel at the comedy side of things in drama. I was not getting straight A's in Shakespearean theater or any of that. But when it came to some of the more serious theater kids for sure. But I seemed to excel at the comedy and I always liked it. And so out of high school, when everyone was searching for colleges and universities to apply to, I applied to two programs. I applied to culinary arts, which everyone gets into, no offense, gets into culinary arts. Like, there's not even any kind of entrance requirement. It's just like, because it's like easy. Yeah, and they're common. There are more culinary arts schools. There was, at the time, my understanding is there was one comedy school in North America. I don't even think that there was technically one in the States that was a post-secondary. Like, you could go to independent schools and whatever.
Right.
So this one was very rare, and they only took 60 students per year.
Okay.
And so I applied to that. And of course, those entrance requirements were much more rigid and difficult. And when I was accepted to that, I thought, okay, well, I have to go there because, you know, it's just like the universe was like nudging me along. And I thought, well, I was already working in food. Like my first kitchen job was when I was 15. I worked at a Pizza Hut. That was something.
I worked at a Pizza Delight.
That
was my first kitchen job.
Yeah. Man, I ate a lot of bread.
You eat a lot of bread.
Yep. And so I went to comedy school, but I was still working in food. And it's kind of been like that ever since. I've done a lot of different things. I think I've had like 35 jobs in my life.
Holy.
And I'm only 31 until midnight.
I was going to say, you're only 31. That's crazy.
But it's because I've often had like two jobs at once or three jobs at once.
I've
left jobs quickly because they were awful. And, you know, it's kind of the nature of working in the food industry. You know, you bounce around and you have a lot of different, you want to try a lot of different things. And so after I finished comedy school, I was pursuing acting in film and television. And I was doing my honors degree at York University. And I was working in the food industry.
Goodness.
Because you could work at night and on weekends and stuff like that.
course, so, yeah, busy.
I've kind of been like juggling my whole adult life, but food is something that I just love. I don't love food service. I'll put that right out there. Like, I don't love hospitality. It's not what I was put on this world or this earth to do.
Yeah.
But I've been there.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think a lot of people have been there, especially people who work in the arts too, right? Because it's the easiest, it is the easiest job that you can really quickly just jump from job to job to job because there's such a high turnaround in that industry.
Can you start tomorrow? It's like a common thing.
Often it's like, we need you. Do you want to start now? Like right now? And you're like,
Hop in.
Hop in. I'm wearing sandals. I can't, simply cannot.
We'll let it go.
I know it is. Yeah. It is wild. I relate to you having like multiple jobs at a time and multiple, jumping job from job to job. And I did that. Like the longest job I've ever had was at that Joey's restaurant, but it was still on and off. It's just that the family that owned it loved me and always welcomed me back whenever I was around. And then I worked at Massey Hall as a bartender for 5 years.
Oh,
but
cool.
Yeah, Massey Hall's like, that was probably, no offense to Joey's restaurant in Sackville, New Brunswick, but Massey was probably one of the best jobs I've ever had. It was just the coolest job. But yeah, so you just love, like, did you cook at all when you were like young, or did you, like when you were younger, like even before you decided to kind of work in this industry?
Oh, indeed, I did. I always loved cooking, and I'm going to my phone because my mom literally sent me this morning. This derpy little photo of me. Oh!
Oh!
These things happen.
Yes. Oh, like my gosh. Pancakes. Look how cute you are.
Yeah, this is before my eyebrows grew in.
You're just a little with your little chef, like your little apron.
Terry's apron.
It's so sweet. And you've upped your apron game on your Instagrams. I want to know where you got that apron because I want it.
Man, I got to sell those things.
You have
Amazon.
To.
It's not like... I've got three of them because I loved it so much, and it was like $25, and so I got like a store of them,
okay.
Like Marge Simpson's closet, you know?
Yeah, it's all the same thing, yeah. Well, we have a uniform, you know? We all have our own uniform, so...
Indeed. And honestly, I would feel like I had one... So when I worked at Canadian Living... I was already wearing my denim apron, and they wanted me to go do something. I had to go work the main stage at the festival. It was this big food and music festival in Oro Medonte, like 3 summers ago. Mm-hmm. And they wanted it branded. So they got like an iron-on Canadian Living logo. And then, so like we ironed it on I just kept it. Like, after I left the magazine, I kept it. I was like, this is mine. And so it was up in my closet, and I had misplaced two of my two other aprons somehow. I took them up to the cottage to do some filming, and I left them there. Anyway, long story short, I had to film later that day, and I'm like, I got to get this freaking Canadian Living thing off of here because I was filming, and I was like, I cannot film without my denim apron because it feels like a part of my outfit or my like brand. I hate that.
Yes, it is. I know, but I get it.
Oh yeah. So I'm like Googling how to get this off. I got like the Goo Gone chemical stuff. I'm trying to peel it off. Finally, I ended up using tweezers, and I'm not joking, for like an hour and a half. I'm just like,
I don't want anyone to know this is Canadian Living.
Well, I couldn't possibly.
I know, you couldn't.
And so, I was just like, that's how desperate I am to not be without my denim apron.
Yeah, and that's so funny because I know the word brand is such an interesting term when you think of like, as entertain, like, I guess technically like entertainers or like social media folk who we're all trying to build an image for ourselves, basically. But I also like labels and branding. I'm always like, ugh. Because, and what I love about you too is that on your Instagram right now, like, you don't stick to like one thing. Like, all of your cooking is so eclectic and like variety. And it's also things that I feel like people at home can learn from and kind of do on their own, which I love because, you know, that's what people want when we're watching stuff. We're like, can I do this myself?
Yeah. I get a lot of feedback from people.
Yeah.
Some of the people on Instagram, they're very, very verbal, and I love them for it. But it gets to the point, I also give a lot. So, like, mm-hmm. I'll be, like, having dinner with my family or whatever, and somebody will be, somebody I never met is like, my gravy is not thickening. How can I help? I'm like, I am not Dear Abby on, like in the moment, Abby. But then I do. But then I do.
Of course, because you're and I'm so like, sweet. Oh,
no wonder they're coming back for more. Like,
you said a president.
Beef is terrible.
My gravy, it's so watery. What do I do?
Please
just put
help.
Some flour in it. Yeah. Flour. And
anyway, just,
it's easy.
And so, yeah. And so, I get a lot of feedback from those people. And even when I was working at the magazine, I was developing recipes. Mm-hmm. You know, when people aren't going to, if no one's going to cook it, what is the point in putting all the work into developing that recipe? And that's mm-hmm. one of the things that I look at a lot of cookbooks. I read a lot of cookbooks, and I'm like a Indigo browser, you know.
Yeah,
and
I get it. I love it. Me too.
I've kind of stopped buying cookbooks, but you see recipes, and you're like, yeah, that's really cool. But like, who's ever going to do that? It's got so many moving parts, and some people
yeah,
are diehard cooks, but the vast majority of people want recipes with like 10 ingredients or less, or mm-hmm. even better, like 7 ingredients or less. So I really try to stick with my like simple recipes.
Yeah, it's amazing because then people can easily, you can just easily go out and get those items. And like the one where you made the deep fried avocado with the pan seared white fish. I would never also the balsamic and maple.
The soy maple.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, I was like, I would never have thought in my brain to like that, how simple that, not simple because there's obviously technique to it, but how I was like, oh, I could make a beautiful dinner like that without really like forcing myself to go out and buy a bunch of things. Cause
yeah.
it's hard. Like, you know, I was always wanted to challenge myself to Gordon Ramsay's, oh my gosh, why can't I think of the name right now?
MasterChef? Wait.
No, well,
oh,
no,
is
what's
it a recipe?
Yeah, what's his main thing? Oh my gosh.
Oh, Beef Wellington.
Beef Wellington. Oh my god, I could my brain kaput on me there for a sec. But my girlfriend and I had made Beef Wellington for Christmas this year, and that took a lot. Like I said, I've always wanted to do it, so I was like, I'm gonna go all out, I'm gonna spend the money, I'm gonna get a really nice cut of beef, I'm gonna like do it all, I'm gonna do it right. And it took hours. It was so hard. And I was like, why did I put myself through this? But I was like, I'm glad I did it. And it turned out really well. It was really good. Okay. Yeah. The only problem was that the bottom was a little bit too wet. So I don't know if I didn't sear the meat properly, like enough to make it not juice as much. But, you mm-hmm. know, it was still delicious. Like the beef was cooked very well inside. I was very proud of myself.
Good.
Just the pastry wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. But I think phyllo pastry is like the hardest thing to cook or to make.
Wait, did you make puff pastry from
scratch?
No,
God, no, absolutely
not.
No, absolutely. Who am I? No, absolutely not. People on, I just have been watching the Great Canadian Baking Show, and some of them can't even make puff pastry. And I was like, I will never be able to do that.
Honestly, it's one of those things that you just don't. And I use a lot of puff pastry, frozen mm-hmm. puff pastry, because I love it. It's one of those ingredients that if you can find a good puff pastry you like, you can always sort of have it in the freezer and mm-hmm. it thaws quickly and you can make a ton of different things with it. It's gotten to the point where I like have like blacklisted puff pastry as one of my ingredients for the next little while because it just keeps coming up. I think in my COVID videos, it came up like 3 times. And my husband is like, I'm getting fat and it's all this puff pastry. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. It's
yeah,
you eating chips at night. But anyway. Love you.
But either way, love you, honey. But it's not my cooking.
No.
I love that. That's so much. And you won Chopped Canada.
What? Yeah, a long time ago.
You won a long time ago, but you were 24, which is wild. Like you're such a young chef with like a very clear talent for like a creative like cooking. What was it like being like, cuz you're so in the media now too, right? So what is it like, I guess, being a chef like in the media? Is there a difference or like from, like, I guess, normal chefery?
For sure. I mean, most chefs, and I know a lot of them, don't want anything to do with the spotlight. A lot of them are introverts. They are not, you know... Typically, mm-hmm. all the people who work in, like, the arts and work in restaurants are mostly working in the front of house because, A, they can make more money.
Yes.
And they don't mind being in front of people, right? Whereas the back of house, most of those people have no interest in being absolutely on camera. Not. They have no interest in being interviewed or doing anything or being in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. And I always did, because I came from a theater and performance background. Like, I mean, I was putting on magic shows for like my mom's colleagues when I was like 10 cute. Years old. And so like I always wanted to be, and I went to like drama camp and all that. And so I knew that I wanted to do things mm-hmm. for audiences, and I knew that I wanted to entertain. Like, I wanted to be an entertainer as well as work with food. And it's been like trying to bend two bars together slowly mm-hmm. over years that I've been figuring out how to do it. And I'm still learning.
Of course.
But in those days, like when I applied for CHOP, I was living with my best friend. Mm-hmm. And our respective boyfriends were also kind of living with us. We were living the like Toronto life of 24-year-olds. It was amazing. Yes. Such a good time. And we would watch a lot of Chopped, the American one. It had already been on for seasons and seasons. And my friend and I, we would, at the beginning of the show, we would pick two competitors each. And mm-hmm. then we would like bet a massage. Like the winner of whoever's person won would get a 10-minute massage. And we just like would do it all the time. We just loved it.
Yeah.
And so she said, you got to go on this show. You know, like you got to go on this show. And I looked into it, and the American version wasn't casting mm-hmm. Canadians, you know, like every American,
like every American television show ever.
Exactly. You know. And so as soon as she heard on the radio one day casting for Chop Canada, and she called me right away. She said, you have to do this. And then I was like, oh, crap. Like, I mean, it was fun to talk about it, but now like I can't.
Now it's a reality.
Apply. Yeah. And then the application process was so intense. There was like four levels of application and audition and screen testing and all this stuff. And so then like I went through the motions, and then I got cast. And to be honest, I think I was considered originally, like at the very beginning, not because of my vast experience, but because I was gay and openly gay. Mm-hmm. And I think that me talking openly about it made them think, well, that sets you know how producers are, right?
They yes, want diversity, of course.
And they're like, oh, interesting. Even like questions like, would you say that your being gay affects your cooking? And I'm like,
yeah, they really? Want a story.
I try to eat light. Gay guys are very judgmental.
Yes, but other than that.
If I could go back in time, that'd probably be my answer. But at the time, I was just like, so funny. No.
Yeah, of course not. Like, what is it like? I don't know. Like, what about cooking would affect it? Like, that's such a funny. But I mean, obviously, all reality TV wants a story, right?
They want a narrative.
They want something to grab onto that they can build that narrative. Yeah, of course.
Exactly. And so, but then I got cast, and then I thought, oh shit! Like now the real anxiety, you know, sets in. And then, I don't know, I guess I was just, and I had people who were like 10 years older than me working in the food industry being like, after they found out that I had competed and that I had won, saying like, man, that was really ballsy of you to go on that show. And I'm like, I didn't even think about it as ballsy, because obviously you can make a huge fool of yourself on that show.
Absolutely.
Like, we've seen people bleed into the plates and stuff.
Yes, and you're like, ah.
Pretty humiliating. But I just went, and it was almost like it was meant to be in a way, because a couple of things. A, like, it was terrifying. I was young, and I'd never competed in cooking anywhere. Like, nowhere.
Wow.
Even in culinary arts, they give you, apparently, like, black box challenges, like what CHOP is, as a form of exam. I'd never done any of that. So I went there. It took, like, all day. It was, like, a 15-hour day. We were there from, like, 5 a.m. to, like, 8:30, 9 p.m. And I had bought myself one new knife. I was so poor at the time, like so poor. And I had like a balance on my credit card, you know, living the current life.
Yeah, I get it.
But I bought myself one knife as a kind of like something to take with me. I was working at the Healthy Butcher at the time, and we sold knives. And so I bought a fillet knife, a Shun beautiful Japanese fillet knife.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't my entree box have a whole salmon in it? And I'm like, what are the chances?
What are the chances?
This thing is like factory sharp, which is like exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And I was able to fillet the fish, so there's that. And also, I'm Estonian, so they also want, if they can't grab onto the gay narrative, they want to grab onto your like heritage narrative.
And yes, of course.
And so that middle, I don't know if you are familiar, Estonians are like up where like Finland, Latvia, Lithuania, Sweden, like very northern European. So, and my basket had whole salmon, like wild morel mushrooms, and I don't know, two other things. But I was able to do, I was able to make like a very like, they told me in the first round, like, oh, if you make it to the next round, we want to see your heritage on the plate. And then I get all these like very Nordic ingredients, and I have this fillet knife, and I'm just like, what is, I mean,
what
I'm
is
not
happening?
Complaining about it, but like, what yeah, is no. happening here?
It was like fate. That's so interesting. Cause did anyone else on that? Cause I tried to find the episode, if I'm being honest, but I couldn't locate it even to like, to stream, or I don't know if I'm just being bad with trying to stream things these days. I can't seem to find anything
not,
I want.
It's not on the internet anymore. It used to
I
be
know.
On the Food Network website, but it's so old now.
I guess. It was, like, what year? It was 2014?
I'm turning 32.
I think it was 2014,
was
right?
8
I think
years
we said,
ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Wow. Why? Yeah, that does seem like fate. So you go through, because I haven't watched Chopped in a while, so how many boxes are there? Is it just the one, or it's three different rounds, right?
There's three rounds, and then that's why there's four competitors. So each round, one competitor gets knocked off. Chopped.
Right. Chopped. Boom. Yeah. That's the name of the show. That is so cool. And then because you won that, do you think it then helped your career? Obviously,
yeah,
it did,
yeah,
like
yeah.
big time.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Because, and it was kind of disillusioning in the fact that I realized that people care more about like 1 hour of television than they do about any number of years of mm-hmm. experience or any of that. I guess because people have such short attention spans, they need to always make sense of a situation. So they assume that if you've been on a TV show, boom, credibility, right?
Right.
You don't have to interview. You don't have to say like, oh, like I did this and I spent this amount of time learning this with this restaurant or whatever. Like,
right.
they're just like, you must know what you're doing. And so even though like, all chefs will tell you, or any honest chef will tell you, that they're constantly learning. Like, mm-hmm. not even the best, most meticulous chefs in the world know everything. And that's one of the fun things about food, is that there's so many different permutations of food. Like, mm-hmm. there's an infinite amount of recipes that will be created in the history of time, you know, because
yep.
there's just so many different things you can do. And so I'm still learning, and at that time, I was very much still learning, you know, and I was mm-hmm. playing the fake it till you make it game, but people were just like, oh, I'm scared to cook for you because you're such an actor, and I'm like, please, like,
you're like,
seen
cook
what
for
I was
me,
eating
fine.
At midnight last night, like, another 7-Eleven hot dog, like,
yeah, you're like, I'm good, it's okay, please don't stress.
Yeah, but they would give me so much credit, to the point where I was like, really, like, I was very, you know, like, what's the word I'm looking for? I was very happy to receive all the accolades, mm-hmm. but I was also like, all right, let's everyone cool it. Like, and then I got like recruited for a job, and then I have to tell you this story.
Please.
I was working at the Healthy Butcher at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome job. I love that place.
I like that place. I've shopped there a number of times. Yeah.
It's good. And it's got a lot of like cool personalities who mm-hmm. work there. Like, it was a very cool community. So I was working there, and I was looking for something else because like the hours weren't great, and it was, you know, it was challenging. But mm-hmm. I was looking for a private chef gig because I knew some people who shopped at the Healthy Butcher were private chefs.
Right.
And, you know, I thought that would be a really cool gig. And also all of my friends had jobs where they had the weekends off. Like, and so what I would do mm-hmm. is I would like party with them, and then I would wake up and like go into work, and I just be like, oh God, I wish I had a Monday to Friday job.
Of course.
So I'm looking for jobs on Craigslist
and
other
places,
but like
that's where you
Craigslist,
go.
Indeed. And so, and I find this job. It just says seeking personal chef Monday to Friday. That was it. And I'm like,
okay,
interesting. Hmm. Okay. So like I sent in my resume, and top of my resume was recent winner of Chopped Canada. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so instantly that like set me apart from other people because people care so much about the TV thing.
Of course. Yeah.
So I get called in to do a like trial run 3-course. And, I was speaking to a woman named Nancy, and so she's like, yep, come in. You'll do a 3-course, 3 people will reimburse you for your stuff. This was Easter weekend of, I guess, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I went in, I did it, and I was there cooking for 2 people, kind of my age, like early 20s, and Nancy, who was an older, like lady. And, I was just kind of like, actually, her name was Nancy Zimmerman. And so I thought Oh, and she kept saying things like, he's out of town, he works out of town a lot, he doesn't eat this, he eats a lot of fish. And so I assumed she was talking about her like rich Jewish husband.
Right.
And then so I'm cooking for her kids, and eventually, like, I guess we built enough of a rapport that I could mm-hmm. say, so what does your dad do anyway? And they're like, our dad? Oh, no. He's not our dad. He's our brother. He's a DJ. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, yeah, Deadmau5. And I wasn't a huge, like, I wasn't personally, like, a huge fan.
Right.
I, of course, knew of him.
Everybody
and
I knows. Was
very, right. And I was very much into the EDM scene at the time. And so mm-hmm. I knew that I had friends who were, like, diehard fans.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, my God. Like that's a
huge,
that's a big high profile client potentially.
Yes.
And so that went well. And then I got called in to do 2 weeks of, sort of like a dry run probationary mm-hmm. period. And then I did that for a year until wow. he moved out of town. And that was my whole job at
that's
the time was just
wild.
Looking for this one person.
Also the fact that they went on Craigslist to get Deadmau5 a personal chef is insane
to me. Oh, I know.
It was
me. His assistant, and it was so nondescript. Like, one line.
Which, you know, anytime a lot of people see those ones, you go, something's fishy here. I don't know about this.
Oh, yeah. You really don't know what
that's
you're going to get.
I'm wild.
I'm walking into this place with my, like, cooler bags full of food, and I'm just like, where am I? Like,
yeah, what's happening? Did he always wear his mascot
mouse
head? His mouse head?
No, not at all. But they were all over the place. Like, they were all over
crazy.
The house.
Crazy. Did you get yeah. to, like, I don't know how it works, I guess, when you're a personal chef. Do you get to, like, talk to the client a lot and, like, discuss, like, what they want to eat? Like, or do you prepare the meal? Like, do you prepare a menu for the client? Or are they providing you with things that they want?
It all depends on who your client is. In that case, he was really easygoing when it came to the food. And as long as I knew what he liked and disliked,
mm-hmm.
I would submit a menu on like Thursday or Friday for the following week.
Right.
It would get approved. And then I don't think it was ever not approved. So I didn't experience any like, one time I was told I was making too much seafood. And then I'm like, your mom said you love seafood. Like, he's like, not that much. I'm like, okay, so I'm getting like mixed messages here.
Okay, yeah.
Just you tell me what you want.
Yeah, and I'll make that.
Right. And
that's
so,
wild.
It was a very cushy little, like, I wasn't making a fortune, but it was a very cushy little gig for a while.
Of course,
actually, toward the end of it, I got really good at doing the job. Like, every day I would shop fresh, which was also kind of fun. Because, like, I'd mm-hmm. hop into markets and get, like, just the best ingredients. So you're not worrying about like, oh, the fish is about to turn. We better make a special.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's really wonderful when you can shop fresh because, and like when you know, like for me, when I know I'm going to make a meal, like I know I'm like, I'm making this. I always go shop fresh and it's always so delicious. Like everything just tastes perfect.
It just tastes better.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so toward the end, I got really good at doing the job. Like, I would mm-hmm. probably spend like 4 or 5 hours a day. And then I'm like, what am I going to do with all this time? Like, my friends are still working. My boyfriend's still working at the time. And I was like, you know, I've always wanted to work at a gay bar. So then I got a job like cooking at a gay bar in Leslieville for a few months.
Well, that's so amazing.
So I was doing those two at the same time.
What Wayla was the gay bar? Is it still around?
Yeah, I think so. It's the Wayla bar.
Oh, the Wayla bar. Okay, yeah.
Wayla, yeah.
Wayla yeah. bar. I don't know if I've been there, but that's fun.
It was weird. I'm like, my friends are like, my best friends are like contractor. My boyfriend's an electrician. My best friend is a law clerk. And I'm just like, personal chef to a DJ and working at a gay bar at night. Like,
you're living the true gay life, honestly.
It was fun. It was fun for a time.
It was, of course. Have you been a personal chef a lot, or was that like kind of like a one-off thing for you? Or
that was the only time that I was a quote-unquote full-time personal mm-hmm. chef. I've been a chef for hire, which is when I like all the years, and I still take a few gigs every now and then for old clients or for family friends or whatever, but people that want a really like fun experience, like mm-hmm. it's mom's 70th birthday and we want a 6-course meal that is like each course is based on all her favorite things or one of her favorite things. So it's something that makes somebody really feel celebrated and special.
Oh.
I'll still do those. I don't want to do it full time. even though it's like, it's like an easy sell, because that's something that that makes an amazing gift, right? Like an amazing experience.
Of course, absolutely.
But it's so much work.
A six course meal, yes.
And it's so much driving. That's the other thing. Like, I don't love driving, and man, like the experiences that I've had trying to just get to places with a car full of food, let alone like all the other variables. Like, I was doing a lobster course, like a cooking class and dinner with this group for up in, it was up in like North King. So like, and I was living at Yonge and Eglinton. And so I had to get like 10 lobsters on the way to the thing.
God.
And it was right, after Christmas. It was in like January. So also it's like winter weather. Get the lobsters. I got a car full of other things. I don't even know whose house I'm going to. And then I get to the place where I ordered the lobsters and they sold them. They had sold them. So there's no lobsters. So then I drove around for like, drove to four different stores looking for lobsters. Nobody had them because it was right after Christmas and all the Italians buy up all the lobsters for their like Christmas Eves.
Yeah.
And so then I finally found lobster tails frozen at a store, and I'm like scooping them up. Then I had to show up to the place, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, but here we have these lobster. And I'm just like,
oh no,
this is not my life.
You're like, I don't want to be running around the roads in the winter trying to find fresh lobster that I'm going to have to keep in my car and travel to get somewhere. I mean, the life, the life of a chef, honestly, that is.
Right?
Oh my gosh, that is so, that is such a funny story, because I just picture you in a car, like, looking for lobster, and then I guess I pictured you driving with lobster, and the lobster were, like, alive, and then you got to know the lobster, and then you just didn't want to kill them.
Honestly, that would have been easier than looking for the lobsters that don't exist.
I know, that's so
wild. Or explaining
wild.
To the client why I have these frozen lobster tails instead of certainly not. It was supposed to be a how to cook and clean lobster class. It was just a nightmare.
But
they were very nice about it.
Well, that's good. That's all you want. I feel like you're charming enough to get through it.
Thank God. Yeah. I filled in the gaps with like lame jokes and
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Oh my gosh. What's your next step, I guess, in your career right now? Like, or what's like, it doesn't have to be like, it could just be your dream. Like, what's your dream and your goal with like doing these online Instagram videos right now, which everybody who's listening watch them because they're charming, and I can't wait to try and make the Greek yogurt ganache with the cherry balsamic. Ooh. Oh, it looks delicious.
That's a good one.
I was like, this is so good.
And it's easy. Another recipe that has like seven ingredients.
Yeah.
Six if you don't count a pinch of salt as an ingredient.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, I highly recommend you try it and then send me photos.
Oh, I will.
My next step is to continue the show, but sort of level up a little bit.
Of course.
And so since you watched that video, you know that I'm like, the plan is to build a studio kitchen.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I wasn't even going to bring this up.
Like
5 days ago, like our condo sale fell through.
Oh,
the one
shit.
That we bought. But you know what? It's totally like the, but the place that we live in now is sold. So we got to get out of here in a month. But if we're looking on the bright side, like it's totally the universe giving me like a kick in the butt and saying, you know, that wasn't meant to be, and something else will come. So now we're looking at houses, even though we were going to wait another like 3 years to get a house.
Okay.
We're like, okay, something's happening. And like so many other moments in my life, something has just happened and been like,
and telling you something. Absolutely.
Exactly. So we're looking at houses right now very aggressively and quickly, but you know, the houses will have a better kitchen.
Like, absolutely. And, you'll have so much space.
Right. And for filming purposes, it does sort of like narrow the playing field of like which houses will suit my needs. But the plan is to get the house, do the kitchen, do whatever needs to be done at the kitchen, and then sort of take it to the next level. Because I really love doing it. And I'm still contributing to all the shows that I'm doing. But I'm thinking that I might start doing YouTube because it's just a little bit of a better space for the kind of video that I'm producing. I just have a bigger audience on Instagram, and so that's where I started doing it. But once I start doing them in horizontal frame, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can just direct the people that are interested to go watch it there.
Of course, and they will. And,
yeah. And then it's just more easily shareable. And so, you know, little speed bump along the way, but it's going to be great. And
but like you said, I think it's a lot of the things that we've talked about today in your career and in your life have kind of all fallen into place for a reason. So I feel like that's probably, you're right, the universe being like, hey, no, get a huge kitchen and put it on YouTube. And I think, in my opinion, I want you to have your own cooking show someday soon.
Thank you.
Well, because I would love it.
Well, that was my dream for many years. So, like, going back to even when I was in, maybe around the time that I was in comedy school or right after, I was probably right after, because comedy school put the, like, oh, my God, I want to perform, you know, even more than I did before, sort of bugging me. And I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get, I'm going to start filming little pilots, and then, like, I'll get a cooking show going. And you know, you start to quickly learn what the Canadian media landscape is like, and they're not just handing out shows. And even the people who have done shows, once the older I've gotten and the more I've been able to actually communicate with those people, the people I admired when I was a kid, because I watched a ton of the Food Network when I was growing up.
Yeah, like a ton.
Like probably like 4 hours a day on average.
That's
and so
amazing.
Like I idolize these people. Like Lynn Crawford, I have dreams about her. And so I thought, like, I'm going to do this. And when you talk to them, they're like, yeah, it's nothing's as glamorous behind the scenes as you think it is.
Of course.
Even, like, backstage at shows. How about that backstage at Second City, right? Like,
yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's the thing. There isn't anything glamorous about it. It is just, you know, and that is the crazy world. But I don't know. I think you have such a charming, like, I keep saying the word charming, but that is what it is. Like, your personality makes, like I said, when you watch those Instagram videos, you feel like you're there. And you're kind of like sitting in a kitchen with a friend who's cooking for you and showing you how it's all done, which I love. And it makes us really, as an audience, feel like a part of your life. And I think that's so important with cooking shows and any kind of show where you're putting yourself out there, because that draws people to you more, to trust you, right? And so for me, that, like, watching you, it's so wonderful. And I'm excited.
Well, thank you.
Of course. I'm excited to see what happens, and I hope that you get a house soon.
Yeah, we
will. If not, you can come stay with me. I've got, you know, I've got a 3-bedroom apartment that a roommate just moved out. So if you're in a tough spot, you come stay with us.
Well,
you're more than welcome.
I'll cook dinner every day.
Oh my gosh, I'll cook with you. When you get your big studio and you're doing your YouTube and we're allowed to see each other in person, I would love to have a real drink with you and actually cook a meal together. I would love that.
And that's what, that's the thing. Okay, so that's to bring this really like windy story, like every story I ever tell, back to the point. I want that studio kitchen, because one of the hardest things about filming anything is always location. Where are we going to film? Where are we going to film this? Oh, I've got a buddy who's got this or whatever, like a great backyard or a great kitchen or whatever. And I just want to own that so that I can do that and I can have guests over.
Of course.
And it becomes, it is the cooking show that I always wanted to have, but it's on my terms. And all that I've learned about all these people who have worked for the big networks and done their shows, like, you start to realize they really freaking meddle in your business. And it's the non-creatives, like
always
messing with the creatives. Exactly. And I don't want that. I want it to be authentic, and I want it to be easy, and I want it to be fun. And like, yeah.
Yeah. You want it to be you, and you want it to be what you want. And that is what makes your product amazing is you. And that is something with, you know, a lot of producers on those kind of reality shows, is they're not creatives and they're having a huge say in what the creatives do. And it does tend to limit the possibilities of what you can produce. So Paul, on this show, at the end of the show, we always do a little lightning round of questions that I like to ask really quick. And, you try to answer them as fast as you can. Right now they're called quick cues with Trish. I don't know. There are no rules. So there's no rules on this show. We just live freely and openly and we improvise. So are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. What's your biggest party fail?
Ooh. I don't even want to say what came to my mind. Okay. I was at a party in high school, mm-hmm. and the party... This is so gross. Sorry, oh, no. Mom. The party was dubbed Meatball Puke Fest because there was like a potluck table and somebody okay. brought like a crock pot full of meatballs and like
oh, no.
bags of dinner rolls. And then, of course, the garage is full of pot smokers. Just like it's like mm-hmm. a giant hot box and people are like smoking bongs. And I don't even know why we used to do yeah. that. But anyway, so I smoked some weed, uh-huh. hit the meatball table. And then, like,
oh, no.
so many other people at that party, I swear to God, like, at any given time, there was, like, four people vomiting from the meatballs. I don't know if the meatballs were bad or
bad.
What. And so I was on the yearbook committee, uh-huh. and another guy was who was a yearbook editor who always had a, like, DSLR around his mm-hmm. neck, was, like, taking photos at the party, and he caught a photo of me. Like, I ran to all three bathrooms in the house.
And
they were all occupied, so I ran out the back door, and literally, as soon as I got to the back door, it was like
projectile.
A geyser from my mouth, and he caught a photo of it. It looks like I was doing a spit take, but it was like
yeah,
meatballs.
But meatball puke. Oh yep. my gosh. Oh
my
god.
I can't believe
god.
I shared that.
I also love that your biggest party fail involves food. That's very funny to me. Who was your first celebrity crush?
My first celebrity crush? Ooh, man. The funny thing is, I definitely had a crush on Andrew Keegan when I was a kid. Like, my sister, and funny enough, it's because my sister had, like, cutouts of him
yeah.
taped next to her bed at the cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, what a dreamboat. But I didn't know what to do with those feelings at
right.
the time. So this is, like, me going way back and being like, why am I staring at this guy?
yeah.
And then he was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Which
yeah.
I can't believe they didn't know I was a little gay boy. But anyway.
I feel like I had pictures of Andrew Keegan on my wall as like, look at what I like. But then under my pillow, I had like a picture of like the Spice Girls.
It was like, it's like a wall beard.
It's like a wall beard. Yeah. I had Andrew Keegan, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, Backstreet Boys. They were my wall
oh, yeah.
beards. And then
yeah.
underneath the pillow were, you know, Britney Spears, the Spice Girls, you know, like, it's so funny. Who's your favorite chef of all time?
That's a really tough one.
I know. You can tie it.
You know what? Like, it's hard to pick any one chef based on their food, per se,
True.
Because I respect so many different people. But I have got a mean crush on Lynn Crawford. Like, mean crush. Like, I wish that I could have dinner with her. I wish that I could have this with her. I wish that
yeah.
I could have a drink with her. Like,
well, let's make it happen. Let's try to figure out how to make it happen. I just bought this recipe book. It's called Feast.
Oh, yes.
And it's recipes and stories from a Canadian road trip by Lindsay Anderson and Dana Vanvliet. And the foreword is by Lynn Crawford.
Yep. Yep.
So there we go. We'll have to cook something from this cookbook. I'm excited about it because I love Canadian
yeah.
cooking. Okay, let's keep going. What's your all-time favorite Simpsons episode?
Ooh, I don't know. so many good ones. I love... Shit, that's a hard one. I really love the Junior Campers episode.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is not list your favorite episodes.
Yeah, list your favorite episodes. No,
I love the rubber knife and like you've achieved the rank of Pussy Willow.
Yes. My favorite episode is the Springfield one where Marge gets addicted to gambling.
Oh yes.
Just because my favorite scene of all time, and every time I watch it, I die, is where Lisa wakes Homer up and she's like, Dad, I had a nightmare. And he goes, okay, tell Homer all about it. And she's like, well, the boogeyman. He goes, the boogeyman. And then he busts Bart's door down. And he's like, Bart, I don't want to alarm you, but there may be a boogeyman in the house. You nail the window shut. I'll get the gun.
And then Marge comes home and he's like,
yeah.
he's like,
you left me to my own devices.
Oh my God. Or when Mr. Burns is like, it's the spruce moose.
The spruce
Hopped
moose.
In.
Yeah. And he's like, Or the worry goes, you made Lisa cry. Then I cried. Then Maggie laughed. She's such a little
trooper.
Trooper. Oh man, I could talk Simpsons a lot. I love them so much. Oh my gosh. Okay, I've got a couple more cues. Okay, go-to ingredient?
Ooh. Okay, right now, white miso. It's come up a lot in my recipes because it's one of those ingredients that, especially if you live in a place like Toronto and you have access to, like Loblaws is carrying it. And it's kind of like how soy sauce is such a versatile ingredient. It can add flavor to so many different things.
Right.
And people have known about it. Like, I should say, like, you know, average middle-class whiteies have known about it for a long time. But miso is not one that people know about, and how much it can add to recipes that are not at all of Asian origin at all.
Right.
So, like, for example, you can add a little bit of white miso paste to tomato sauce, and it adds so much umami, so much flavor. People would be like, this is the best tomato sauce ever. What's in it? And you, like, it would seem like miso would be a weird ingredient to add, but it really adds a lot. And so, yeah, I think, like, I use miso just as much as puff pastry in my COVID videos. It's such a good ingredient.
It's just delicious. We watched The Mind of a Chef a lot here in this house.
Love it.
And he cooks a lot with, and the, we also watched, Jill, what was that one we watched that was like Ugly Delicious? Or were they, no, we learned about miso.
Salt, fat, acid, heat.
Salt, fat, acid, heat. Yes.
Yeah, with Samin. No
that
fat,
was
yeah.
it. Yes, it was so delicious. It still looks so good.
She talks about adding miso to tomato sauce.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that I love about being Canadian. I think you learn from an early age that you can have a sort of a gray area where cultures sort of overlap. And you can, you know, take this from this culture and apply it to your culture. And it, certainly in food, the food world, there's this emphasis on authenticity. Like, it's authentic Mexican. Yes. But there's no reason why you can't take some of the techniques or some of the ingredients from authentic Mexican and add it to Italian to just like twist it a little. It's fusion.
But that's
cooking,
it's fusion,
as they say.
Yeah. But that's the brilliance of cooking, is improvising and adding, right? Is just is
and
making
playing.
It your own and playing. It's such a playful it's such a playful world food.
Yeah.
It is. It is. It really is. Okay, and last question. The party's coming to a close. Everyone's had a great time, and everyone, I know it's sad. I could talk to you forever, I think. but everyone's leaving. Everyone had a great time. How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as the guy who brought the delicious food and the guy that made people laugh.
Yes.
That's
two
thing.
Good qualities.
That's the thing. I want to be, That's why I came up with the tagline for the Instagram show, and I put it at the top of my Instagram. Just have a laugh, cook something delicious. And I swear, I think that's going to stick with me probably for the rest of my life.
It should. It's such a good way to think of it, because sometimes when I get in the kitchen, I get frustrated when things aren't perfect, and I have to remember just to enjoy it and to laugh and cook something that I'm going to enjoy. Because I'm like, the only people eating it right now are me and my girlfriend, Jill, so... It's not, it's okay. She'll eat anything I make.
I know. And I'm sure you're long for a gathering or a proper kitchen party just as much as I do.
I do. I want a kitchen party so bad. My friends and I, all my best friends from home, that's what we do. Like, we always had, big Thanksgiving Day dinners, and we all cook together. Usually my friend Justin and I tend to take the lead on everything, and we'll do some fun things, and I miss it so much, being able to cook with people, and I'm looking forward to the day that I can do it again, and I'm looking forward to the day, and I'll keep asking you to have me on cooking with you, because I would die to cook and learn. I'll be your sous chef any day.
Perfect. Honestly,
I have pretty good knife skills. I have pretty good knife skills, so.
That's the plan. That is the plan, and I would be happy to have you on anytime.
Yes, please. Well, thank you so much, Paul. Where can people find you again on Instagram with your Instagram account? Just so I want to send everyone your way.
They can find me at Paul Lilicus, or Lilacus, if you will.
No, Lilicus. It's Lilicus. Say Lilicus. It right, everyone.
I know. And I'll be sharing as much as I possibly can. Obviously, it's going to be a busy time coming up.
Yes, I know you're going to be rushing, but it's going to be great. And I can't wait to see your career grow and be incredible, and I'll be watching every video, and I'm going to try to make some of the ones that I've watched so far. So I'll send you photos when I make them. Be like, look what I did.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And you can be like, the fish isn't seared enough. And I'll go, mm-hmm. Okay.
I would never.
Well, cheers to you, Paul. And thank you so much for being on the pod. I look forward. We'll have to have you on again soon. So thank you so much. And this was a joy.
Chef Paul Lilikus, folks. Oh my goodness. What an absolute delight. That was such a wonderful conversation. He is such a sweet human being. What a delight. I say delight. That's the word of the week. Delight. It was so lovely to meet him and get to talk to him about his career and his passion for food, and which brought up my passion for food. Oh my goodness. And I love that we met on Instagram and then... became instant friends, and that's what Instagram does, is make you instant friends with people. And I can't wait. And Paul, I'm holding this to you. I want to cook with you when you get your new studio up and running. I would die. It would be so fun. And I can't wait to try out some of your recipes that are on Instagram. And you can follow Chef Paul Lilikus at Paul Lilikus on the gram. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow the podcast at One More Round Podcast on Instagram. You can follow me, Trisha Black, on Instagram and Twitter at @its_TrishaBlack. And also, I'm 22 subscribes away to being able to change my URL on YouTube. So if you want to follow some cool sketches and musical sketches that are going to be coming out in the next few weeks, please subscribe to Trisha Black on YouTube. I would greatly appreciate it. And we also have a Ko-fi account now. So if you're loving the pod and you want to tip the podcast and your host, me, Trisha Black, so that we can get some new equipment and really up the tech game and keep this podcast free for everyone, you can tip us at Ko-fi, which is ko-fi.com/itstrishablack, and it will be greatly appreciated, and I'll give you a shout out on all the social media accounts. It will be linked in the description of the pod today. Also, you know, like I said, it's almost my birthday, so I would love a Ko-fi, or in better, kinder, please donate to a wonderful charity of your choice. Let me know. You can show me by tagging me in your Instagram or Twitter pics. That's again at @its_TrishaBlack. And I will give you a big old shout out and a big thank you and huge gratitude. And I really appreciate you continuing to listen on this podcast journey. I'm very excited to keep it growing and keep continuing getting to introduce you, the podcast world, to some really wonderful folks. And next week is no different. I'm the host. I'm the host. There's no new host. That was a mistake. Oh my gosh, what's the universe trying to tell me with that? And next week's guest is no different. I have the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented, the funny Claire McConnell. We were on Second City Main Stage together, and if I could hashtag throwback time, you could see her on Star Trek and Murdoch Mysteries, and I can't wait for you to get to know her better, and it's going to be wonderful. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. We'll be back next Wednesday with an all-new episode. You can catch us on all of the places, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and wherever else you find your wonderful pods. Let your friends know if you love in the pod. Let your pals know. And if you hate it, tell your enemies. But if you really like it, we would really appreciate a rate or a review to help us get some more people tuning in to the podcast. And like I said, I am so grateful for your ears and for you listening in. And I love you all, even though I've never met you, but I do. And know that it is flowing from my heart. So we'll see you next week. And of course, no, East Coast Kitchen Party is complete without a rousing musical number. And this week, since it's almost my birthday, I'm going to sing happy birthday to myself. But it's also another man's birthday, the wonderful, talented Mulder from The X-Files, David Duchovny. So we're going to play you out with my rendition of Happy Birthday to Me and David Duchovny. We'll see you next week. Mwah.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. What? He does? Really? Cool. Happy birthday, I believe. Happy birthday to me and David Duchovny. Happy birthday to me and David Duchovny. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday, David Duchovny. Happy birthday, Mulder. Happy birthday, the truth is out there. Did you know that Gillian Anderson's birthday is August 9th? 2 days after David Duchovny. Is that a sign? I don't know. A conspiracy, or maybe I'm supposed to be on the next season of X-Files. Either way, happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday to me and David Duchovny. We'll see you next week for one more round with me, Trisha Black. Woo!
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.